Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Forest of enjoyment. The material world as the great forest of enjoyment. Klachich cha sesha dosha nisadhanam purisha visesham tadvarna guna nirmita matahi suvarnam upadit sat yagni kama katra ivamukha pisacham. With word klachit. Sometimes. Cha. Also. Asesha. Unlimited. Dosha. Of faults. Nishadhanam. The source of. Nishadhanam. Purisha. Of stool. Visesham. A particular type. Tadvarna guna. Whose color. Is the same as. That of the mode of passion. Reddish. Nimita Mattihi. Whose mind is absorbed in that. Suvarnam. Gold. Upaditsati. Desiring to get. Agni Kama. By the desire for fire. Kāturaha, who is troubled, Eva, like, Ulmukha Pisacham, a phosphorescent light, known as a will-o'-the-wisp, which is sometimes mistaken for a ghost. Sometimes a living entity is interested in the yellow stool known as gold and runs after it. That gold is the source of material opulence and envy, and it can enable one to afford illicit sex, gambling, meat-eating and intoxication. Those whose minds are overcome by the mode of passion are attracted by the colour of gold, just as a man suffering from cold in the forest runs after a phosphorescent light in a marshy land, considering it to be fire. Purport. Prichit Maharaj told Kali Yuga to leave his kingdom immediately and reside in four places: brothels, liquor shops, slaughterhouses and gambling casinos. However, Kali Yuga requested him to give him only one place where these four places are included. And Parikshit Maharaj gave him the place where gold is stored. Gold encompasses the four principles of sin, and therefore, according to spiritual life, gold should be avoided as far as possible. If there is gold, there is certainly illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. Because people in the Western world have a great deal of gold, they are victims of these four sins. The colour of gold is very glittering, and a materialistic person becomes very much attracted by its yellow colour. However, this gold is actually a type of stool. A person with a bad liver generally passes yellow stool. The colour of this stool attracts a materialistic person, just as the will of the wisp attracts one who needs heat. Om Magyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Sulakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamam Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. The material world is a prison house in which the conditioned souls are trapped and even though there are a variety of conditions for the living entities governed by the three modes of material nature. It's very obvious. The suffering of the living entities conditioned by the mode of ignorance is to be put into the lower, into the animal species, and we can see in the animal species of life as a struggle for existence. Or certainly a great degree of ignorance. For the living entities in the mode of passion, and the human species is, and of course the human form of life is a better opportunity than the living entities trapped in the mode of ignorance, or predominantly affected by the mode of ignorance. In that they're much more active, and there's more facility for sense gratification. And then those influenced by the mode of goodness are elevated to the heavenly planets. And of course the opulence of the heavenly planets is bewildering, because the duration of life is very long, the facilities are very opulent, and the sense gratification there is more satisfying. But even the life and the lifestyle of the demigods, even though it's enjoyable and it lasts for a long period of time, still it is the nature of the material world is that it's limited and temporary. And so therefore a cause of frustration and dissatisfaction. In the human form of life, there's the facility for sense gratification. And in the heavenly planets, the opportunities for sense gratification completely bewildering because of the opulence. And of course, one of the main disadvantages is that one loses connection with oneself, with one's identity, with one's real identity, and because of the limited and temporary nature, and the fact that even if one goes to the heaven, the higher planets, one still has to rotate around this cycle of the Brahmanda, of the creation. And so the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, you know, the Vedic literature, the Vedas, and especially the Vedanta, or you know, the conclusion, the end of the Vedas, gives us this information. And even though the Vedas even encourage the pursuit of, you know, worshipping the demigods to go to the heavenly planets so that one can enjoy. And for those who are addicted, for those who are habituated to using the material energy for enjoyment, destinations, if you like, are attractive. They're attractive. The facility to enjoy in the material world is attractive. Enjoyment is attractive. Ananda Maya Vyasat, Prabhupada would often quote, you know, we're pleasure seekers. Nobody goes out of their way to suffer. Right? Even though the reactions we get for the activities that we pursue bring about suffering, nobody sets out to suffer. And so, you know, there's this the attraction to the facilities of material enjoyment is natural. I'll just turn the phone off. Put my phone on silent and no vibrate. And no ringtone on your watch. Okay, so here we have a description of the title at the top of the page here is The Forest of Enjoyment, but the material world as the great forest of enjoyment. So, you know, the opulence of the demigods is sought after. Even the opulence in the human species, because the humans can also be well endowed with opulence. And gold is a measure of opulence, right? Having gold. Or having money. Money is the same thing. In fact, you know, money is meant to be a replacement for gold. But why gold? Because it gives the opulence. He can give us the opulence, the facility for enjoyment. And the more gold you have, the more opportunities you get to create an environment like that of the demigods, but in the middle planetary system. Right, so if you're wealthy, then you live on the Gold Coast, for example. Right? You don't live in Melbourne. Or if you do live in Melbourne, then you live in Brighton or Toorak, or, you know, you try to, or Albert Park even for that matter, you try to create an environment where the activities of one's life are comfortable. People are looking for comfort, thinking that will bring enjoyment and satisfaction and happiness. You know, ultimately people are looking for happiness and satisfaction. That's what we're looking for. And we work hard to get money, because the money or the gold facilitates our comfort in life. And the more comfort you have, the notion is, the happier you will be. Right. But of course, we all experience it on payday, right? What happens on payday? When's your payday, Roger Raj? What day is it? First day of the month? Is it? First day of the month? In his case, you know, a few thousand dollars into his bank account. Right? And he sees it. His wife probably also sees it. And their happiness increases. Ah, yes. Look how my bank account is increasing. I'm happier and happier. Right? But then, you know, the mortgage comes out, the electricity comes out, the gas comes out, right? The groceries come out, and so the happiness gets chipped away. And so, you know, as it goes down, until the first of the month comes around again, and oh, look. Huh? Everybody's like that. The more the money comes in, oh, tax return, oh, good. Now it's coming up at tax time. So everybody's in anxiety, because that means they're going to lose money to the tax man. So people, we're very attached to money. And isn't it interesting here what Prabhupada says? Gold encompasses the four principles of sin. And therefore, according to spiritual life, gold should be avoided as far as possible. Huh? Isn't that interesting? According to spiritual life, gold should be avoided as far as possible. And why? Why? Because the gold facilitates material enjoyment. Right. And so, and this illusion that we can make ourselves comfortable or happy in material existence. And you know why the life in the planets of the demigods is attractive. Because this is this notion that one can enjoy, and of course, you know, our capacity for enjoyment is unlimited. Right? It's unlimited. And of course here the Bhagavatam is giving us the Bhagavatam is revealing the reality here. You know, usually when one gets married, for example, then one is happy, right? One is happy. We see at a wedding, actually it's interesting, at most weddings the bride and the groom look in a lot of anxiety, right? But everybody else is happy. They're all smiling and laughing, and we've got them now. But the bride and the groom usually not sure what to expect. Family life is described as being very advantageous for sense gratification, and children are considered to be a source of great pleasure and happiness for the married couple. But the Bhagavatam here is kind of revealing the stark reality of these sources of so-called enjoyment as being sources of suffering. Right? Previously, in the previous verses, the wife and the children are described like jackals and thieves. Right? Very heavy. And here, gold. What is gold is compared to? Stool. The stool of a sick man. Huh? Yellow stool. And here's the prohibition. Gold should be avoided as far as possible. Right? And Prabhupada says, why? Because gold is accompanied by this attempt for enjoyment. Right? This pursuit of enjoyment. And specifically, or especially in Kali Yuga, that means sinful activities, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. The transcendentalists, the karma, the karma yogis pursue gold, if you like, sense gratification. Whereas the jnanis and the yogis and the devotees, the bhakti yogis, they renounce these things. Because of these dangers, you know, generally the path of bhakti is a path of renunciation. Generally, it's a path of renunciation. And for this reason, that material opulence, material wealth, influence, power, fame, these things can be major obstacles on the path of spiritual practice. It is a bewilderment. Gold, representing opportunities for sense gratification, The wife represents an opportunity for sense gratification for the man. For the wife, the husband represents an opportunity for sense gratification. The children represent there's opportunities for sense gratification. And from that sense gratification, a feeling of relief because of the pushings of the mind and the pushing of the senses. There's this perception of happiness because there's a relief from the pushings of the material energy. And a devotee or a transcendentalist wants to be not pushed by the senses, but in control of the senses. This is one of the symptoms of we're discussing in the disciple course the other day. It's a symptom of a symptom of a guru, right? A symptom of an advanced devotee is that their senses are controlled. Right? Vacho vegam, manasakrodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam. Etan vegam yo vishaheta dira, dira, sober. Right? Senses are under control. But for a devotee, not by negation, but rather by positive action. Right. One of the devotees was asking on Facebook yesterday, what does it mean, the regulated principles of freedom? Right. What are the regulated, it looks like we're constrained. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. Don't do this, don't do that. Don't. Right. But actually it's not don't. It's do. In reality, for a devotee, we engage. Yes, we refrain. That's our austerity. We refrain from illicit engagement of the senses. But that means no. That doesn't mean no sensual engagement. Otherwise, what do? We just sit around, trying to control our mind and senses. It's too hard. But rather. The mind and the senses are given a positive engagement. That's why, when I think here of that story, Prabhupada makes the point here that, gold should be avoided as far as possible, right? And so, but yet, when Srila Prabhupada was told about the yogi who, whenever he was given money, his hand would automatically reject it. Right. There was a picture. Prabhupada said, you can take a picture of me, give me the money. Right? So that appears to be contradictory. Right? That's a contradiction. Why is it that Srila Prabhupada says here we should avoid gold as far as possible, right? Yet he says on another occasion, you can take a picture of me, give me as much money as possible, right? So Prabhupada appears to be contradicting himself. Right? But there is a difference in mentality in that the gold for the materialistic person is taken as a possession for one's own enjoyment. Whereas a devotee accepts the gold, understanding who the gold belongs to. He's not thinking it belongs to me, but rather the gold is accepted or the money is accepted because it belongs to Krishna and it should be used in Krishna's service. Still, we have to be careful when we're handling Krishna's money, lest, because it has that power. It has. When Kali was banished from Maharaj Parikshit's kingdom, he begged for a place, that he could stay in one place. Because Maharaj Parikshit said, you can stay wherever there's illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat eating. But Kali pleaded with Maharaj Parikshit, you're a saintly king, and everybody in your kingdom is a devotee. That's as good as giving me nowhere to go. Right? And it's the duty of the king to give protection to the citizens. And I'm one of the citizens, you have to give me protection. So Maharaj Parikshit said, okay, you can reside wherever there's gold. Right. And of course, where everybody's a devotee, then gold is used properly. Right? Because everybody understands that this gold belongs to Krishna. It is, the manifestation of power, influence. It has its own potency, Shakti, and of course represents Lakshmi, who is Krishna's eternal consort and his representation of his power and potency is his internal spiritual potency, his eternal consort. In one sense, the gold represents Krishna, or Krishna's energy, Krishna's potency, power. So, Maharaj Parikshit gave Kali to gave him this residence. So he was given the place where gold is stored. And Prabhupada says, if there is gold, there is certainly illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. Because people in the Western world have a great deal of gold. They are victims of these four sins. The colour of gold is very glittery. It's very attractive. Huh? Now, where there's a devotee who's fixed in service to Krishna and who knows that Lakshmi or gold is the energy of Krishna and so therefore should be used in Krishna's service, then the illicit activities are don't exist, are banished. But especially in the Kali Yuga, or in any yuga for that matter, wherever there's gold, because the gold is so attractive for what it represents and for what it facilitates or for what it brings to the owner, then there's this risk. And that's why the transcendentalists are recommended to be very careful in handling the material energy and in particular aspects of the material energy like gold. We have to be, and money, because money represents gold. And so the Bhagavad Gita is giving us a warning. It's kind of unmasking the features of material energy in a quite a graphic and brutal fashion here, right? Usually, the wife and children are objects of affection. Money is an object of affection. Right? If you want to really hurt somebody, take their money. Right? But properly used in the hands of a devotee, it's a source of liberation. Used for sense gratification, it's bondage. Right? Bondage to the material world. And so the Bhagavatam is really graphically illustrating these points. You know, and so now the gold is likened to liquid stool. Attractive for the materialistic persons, attractive also for the devotees because of a proper understanding of the potency of money, the potency of gold. But a devotee is not attached to having money and having gold. It comes and it goes, right? Just like Rajaraja's bank account. It comes. And by the end of the month, it's all gone. Well, and then on the first of the month, oh, some more money comes. Oh, fantastic. I remember when I was a kid, when I was, one of my earliest memories, I was two or three years old. And I was on my father's hip. And every Friday after school, We lived in a small town called Francis, a very, very small town. And my father was the headmaster of the school. There were only two teachers in the school. This is a primary school, so it was grade 1 to 7, but only two teachers, two classrooms. The town itself was, you know, a pub, a butcher's shop, you know, a grocery, a deli, whatever. Not even a deli, actually. A baker's shop. This is a country town. Very simple. That house that we lived in had no electricity. So mum, you know, it was a wood fire, and we had pressure lamps that stuck on the walls of the house. So every Friday we would go to Narra Court to do our shopping. Like I notice now for Chinchiripa, oh, I haven't got this, she's cooking something. Oh, I just got to whip down the shop. So we just go down to Coles, Port Melbourne, or, you know, South Melbourne, and whatever you haven't got, you can just get it. Go down the IGA and get this, get that, get the other thing. So we could just... But, you know, in those days, if you didn't have it, you had to wait till Friday. You had to make sure that you bought all your groceries, you had a list. So anyway, Dad went into the bank, and I was on his hip. So very young. A baby, still, pretty much. And I saw my father hand over a piece of paper, and then the bank teller pushed the money. And I thought, wow, Dad knows where to get this stuff. Somehow or other I knew that money was important, even at a very young age. So I thought my father had, you know, like Prabhupada says here, In the Western world, we have a great deal of gold. So I thought my father was wealthy. You know, he knew where to get the money. Why couldn't he just give me what I wanted? Whenever I asked for something, my father said, oh, I haven't got any money. And I think, come on, you've got money. You know where to get it from. So, money. Even at a very young age, I don't know how I came to the conclusion that this was important, but I did. Going to the bank. So, we have to be very cautious about dealing and handling money. Here Prabhupada says, avoid it as far as possible. But can we avoid money in this day and age? Huh? Who can avoid money? Raise your hands if you can avoid money.
Nobody.
Nobody. But we need to use it carefully. We need to account for it. You know, so Srila Prabhupada wanted, if there's money came in, into the bank. But when I became a Sankirtan devotee, Balaram made sure that each one of us had a money bag. We had a little notebook, and we wrote down all of our collections and what we spent each day. Right? And at the end of the week, and especially we were doing a lot of travelling sankirtan, so we travelling collections. So in those days, you know, ATMs didn't exist. There wasn't an ATM. And so we would hang on to the money until the end of the week. We'd write up our remittance. Then we would deposit it. If we're at the temple, we did it every night. Put the money in that slot in the door. Been there for a long time. So when you do a collection at night, in the slot. That way you know Krishna's got the money. And there's no temptation to spend money for yourself. I remember going on Sankirtan with some devotees, and I was the Sankirtan leader, and I discovered they were keeping some of their collection from the previous day. And these were big collectors. These were guys who could collect a couple of grand a day. Right, a couple of grand a day. And I bailed one of them up, and I said, what are you doing? Where do you keep the money? He said, oh, no, I've got to keep the money, because if you don't have Lakshmi, you can't attract Lakshmi. Well, I said, don't you trust Krishna? No, but what I realised he was doing, because, see, and this is an example of how corrupting money can be, gold, right? Because some days he wouldn't do anything, but he couldn't suffer the ignominy of having no score. So he would always keep $1,000 or, you know, a few hundred dollars in his pocket, just in case on a day he didn't do anything, he could then put something in it and not be totally embarrassed. Right? So what's that?
Attachment to the desire.
Yes. Passion. Yeah. Right? Or ignorance. Passion degrading into ignorance. Yeah. But it shows you, you know, we had devotees who could collect big amounts of money. The Australian Yatra was famous for being so wealthy. But it actually ended up being the degradation of a number of devotees. If we look at the history of the 80s, in ISKCON, we can learn a lot of lessons. And it was, having lived through that, it was extremely painful. extremely painful to see devotees who were an inspiration and were leaders, but our success became our downfall. We have living evidence of this, of these statements of Bhagavatam. We were selling paraphernalia, and like I say, there were devotees who could collect at least $1,000 a day, if not more. And the leaders had the money, so you know, bought Mercedes Benzes and bought this and other symbols of wealth. Whereas in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, here there's a warning: avoid gold, avoid money. And I think not that we avoid it, we cannot avoid money, but avoid the mentality of ownership. Right, this is the important point. That's why Srila Prabhupada said, give me the money, give me the money. But he wasn't attached to money. Right, if he had money, okay, use it in Krishna's service. This is Yukta Vairagya. Not just renounce it, you know, give it up, give it up, give it up. But in one sense, it is give it up, because the notion or the proper understanding, the proper mentality is, this is idam Krishnaya, idam na mama. This is the mantra that they chant in Mayapur, you know, when they do the jagya. I don't know if they still do the jagyas, but they probably do. Every morning, you know, and it's swaha, swaha, swaha. And then after that, idam Krishna, idam na mama. This is not for me, this is for Krishna. So that's really the mentality that has to be, you know, for the wife, for the children, for the money. Right? All attractive things all give enjoyment. Right? But the proper mood, so as not to be entrapped by the money, is to know idam Krishnaya, idam na mama, or Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Every Bhagavatam class can finish with the Maha Mantra, right? Because that's the mood. Krishna, please engage. Krishna, please. My Lord and Master. Lord and Master of everything, let me be your servant. Let me see all property. What is it? Bhaktaram jagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram sudidam sarva bhutanam. What is it? Gyatva mam.
Shanti.
Yes. Say that last line.
Gyatva mam shanti
mucchati. Shanti mucchati. Gacchati. Gacchati. Yeah, one becomes peaceful. In that, see, if we're looking for money with a sense of proprietorship and enjoyment, then we're always going to be in anxiety. Right? But if we take it as Krishna's, then what's the anxiety? We know it comes and goes, because that's the nature of existence, practically speaking. We don't look for happiness in these things, because we know it comes and goes. Into the bank account, out of the bank account, into the bank account, out. We just got to make sure that there's more going in than going out. Huh? But sometimes it happens. More goes out than comes in. Ouch! That's suffering, isn't it? Even for the temple. Now, Balaram taught me a lot of things, actually. You know, this need to account, accountability. And also, to keep track of the finances. We were Sankirtan collectors, and then at one point, Baron started revealing the accounts and sharing the financial responsibilities, and I was thinking, well, I don't want to. Here, in the Bhagavatam it says we shouldn't worry about money, right? And here was the temple president making me worry about money. I said, what's he doing that for? Well, I discovered eventually why he was doing it, because eventually became my responsibility. And I used to think sometimes, because the temple wasn't making money on more than one occasion, right? And I think, how does he do it? You know, sometimes you have to have nerves of steel, because, you know, you've got to maintain, it's like being a family man, you've got to maintain your dependence, right? You can't just tell the kids one day there's no money, nothing to eat this week, right? You can't. So, you know, one has to have a great deal of faith in Krishna and the devotees, and especially when there will be times of difficulty. Look at this COVID, you know, the COVID situation. We had an income of, you know, all of our turnover, restaurants and temples, you know, between $60,000 and $70,000 a week. And then within a week, $2,000 a week. What do you do? Well, we thank, even though we generally don't like politicians, we thank the government for generously supporting the whole country. It wasn't just us. Very, you know, it's very funny, or it's ironical that, you know, the political party in power at the time, the party that eschews debt, you know, and deficit, embraced debt and deficit like anything. And even now they're doing the same. To keep the country afloat, to feed people, you know. My parents used to talk about the Depression, the Great Depression, after World War I. And my mother and father would tell about people that were living on the streets who had no job and no money. And, you know, the COVID situation could have easily ended up like that, very easily. But as Prabhupada says here, very interesting, people in the Western world have a great deal of gold, because we were able to, you know, maintain a whole country despite the fact that many of us weren't working and people didn't go starving, generally. In fact, we were being given money to feed others. You see how generous. We're very fortunate, actually. But still, we have to be wary of the dangers, because, you know, the gold or money has this potency invested in it by Maharaj Pariksit, and just by the Lord's arrangement, that used with the wrong mentality, with the improper understanding, is extremely dangerous for spiritual life. And so therefore, accountability, or, you know, you get the money, put it in the bank. That's what Prabhupada wanted. Get the money, put it in the bank, in Krishna's bank account, not my bank account. Don't keep it in your pocket, because, you know, you'll be given, you know, thousands of dollars. People will give you. I remember my friend Ananya Bhak. He had a brain tumor. He was leaving his body, and he went to the bank and he got $10,000. Right? $10,000. And we believe that he was going to give that to the temple. Right? But we don't know. But we were looking, and I went into the, he said, and he really go and check out an onion bag because he's fallen asleep at the table in the living room. So I went in there and there was $10,000 sitting on the table. So I was thinking, what do I do with the $10,000? A lot of money. And and he'd forgotten that he'd got, because with the brain, he would forget what he was doing. So he didn't know what he was doing with the money. And then he went back to the bank to withdraw another $10,000. So they froze his account. So I was in a quandary. What do I do with this $10,000? And I could have just taken it. I could have just taken it and, you know, nobody would have known except the devotee who was living there would have, you know. So it was a, you know, I could have just taken it for Krishna too. Oh, take it for Krishna. And which I was tempted to do, but then I thought, I can't do that. It's morally not right to do that. So we put that money back into his estate, back into the, I think into the bank, or I gave it to his ex-wife, who was very appreciative of the fact that she had $10,000. But you know, we receive money from people as devotees. We receive money, but we've got to always put it in Krishna's bank account. Put it in the treasury. Don't keep it for yourself. It's, we don't need Lakshmi to attract Lakshmi. We've got Radha Balaba. That's all we need. That's who we need. Not dollars in our pocket to attract others' dollars. Okay, anybody have any comments or questions? Any realizations on gold and money? Say that it's not in the picture, because it is, and gold's value has increased, especially in the COVID situation, because so many other things became they revealed their liquidity, in other words, they started to lose their value, that people started buying gold again, because, and the value went up, because, you know, gold is seen as a solid form of investment, and even though it may depreciate from time to time, when the going gets tough, and everything else loses value, gold becomes more valuable. But here, as is pointed out by the Bhagavatam, pulls the rug out from underneath these concepts, right? But even the Bhagavatam mentions, you know, if you want to be really wealthy, then have gold. Right? And it's been, its value has been, you know, as part of Krishna's arrangement, that gold is intrinsically valuable. As a metal, very easy to work with. And you can use it for so many purposes. No? But yeah, it's still valuable. very valuable. Now it's more valuable. But you know, you can see that this investment is a kind of cheating, right? And it's gambling. You're gambling that the price of your investment will go up. You know, this banking, gold valuation, it's all cheating, right? You purchase it, why? Because you want the value to go up. So it's a form of speculation. Right? And what happens when it goes down? Right? It affects us. And when it goes up, wow, joy, Adibol, Lakshmi, Devi, Ki, joy. Right? Goes down, ooh, Krishna, why me? I'm your servant. For your servant, the value of gold should go up. So, you know, it's the nature of the material world that these things are flickering. And Lakshmi is known as Chanchala, right? You know, they sometimes with us, sometimes not. So, your point?
Generations come up, they will not realize the value of gold, but those who know will hold it.
Yeah, well, they are.
Over a period of time, everything is gone, they still have it.
No, I think the value of gold will be plainly obvious to most people. Yeah. That's, you know, that's why we have these spot prices for oil, for gold, for, you know. Gas, you know, these are the things. Although, you know, they're diminishing. The things that will have value will be things like lithium, right? So you make batteries, store the energy. So that's, you know, these are the commodities that are coming up in value now because, you know, It's becoming pretty obvious to most of the world's leaders that fossil fuels, a dependency on fossil fuels will just create more trouble, economic inconvenience. And so therefore, you know, the need to invest in technology that can power our commerce and our lifestyle, if you like. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that the value of gold will not diminish and people will not lose sight of it. Because whoever's got more of it is at an advantage to others. Because it gives you influence. You can control others. Right? And that's why Kali, you know, that's why Kali resides in that place. There's always cheating going on because there's speculation. And you know, the banks will say, you know, you give me your money, I'll give you more money back. A lot of, you know, we have to be careful. There are people who will say, you know, you give me your money, I'll give you more money back. And it'll come really quickly. And they'll do tricks. It's happened to the devotees. They'll say, so the devotees, they gave $30,000 and then they got 60 back, say, for example. But it's a scam. They just do that to get your confidence, and they say, give me 150, I can, you know, give. So they think, oh, I gave him 50 and got 60 back. If I give 150, I'll get, you know, X more back. And then what happens? Poof, gone. Yeah, no, they're a confident. This is confidence tricksters, right? And it exploits people's greed, even devotees. You know, they'll say, "Give me your money, and I'll double your money, give it back," and then they just take your money, and you've got nothing. Huh? It's cheating. But because we're greedy, or we've fallen for a confidence trick. So, you know, the value of money, the value of gold, these things, nobody's going to, it's not going to be forgotten. And if you forget, your father will remind you, or if he's not around, your brother will, or your wife, or somebody will remind you.
Earlier, like 200 years ago, people used to go to Balaghat mine to get gold and enjoy outside. But now people from outside working hard and going to Balaghat mine, spending all the money to get some enjoyment and coming back. I mean, Balaghat gold mine.
Balaghat?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went for a ride on Sunday up to the Brisbane Ranges. That's kind of halfway between Geelong and Ballarat. Beautiful, it's very nice. Hilly, rocky terrain. But it was gold. People went there for gold. That's why there's this a town there, what's it called? Stieglitz. And, you know, you kind of wonder, well, what are people living out here for? And then you realise they were there for gold. Because otherwise, you know, you could practically live on in the area. Yes, Simon?
Yeah, but I mean, earlier they were going there to
get gold.
Get the gold and things, I would say.
Yeah.
But now we are going there to spend the money and come back.
Well, yeah, because fortunes change. The Victorian Parliament House. Have you seen Parliament House on Spring Street? What does it look like?
It's under renovation.
It's under renovation. Yes, but otherwise, normally. It's a grand building. Look at the buildings, the public, you know, the buildings in Ballarat and Bendigo. Look at the town hall and some of these, the old bank buildings. The Victoria boomed on the gold rush. You know, it was built on gold. Unfortunately, the gold's, you know, ran out. You know, that you could walk down the street, or not the street, you could walk out in the field and bang your foot on a nugget of gold. Well, not every day, but it was there. And so, you know, people came from China, people came from Europe, people came from the United States. They came from all over because of gold. They used to have a gold escort. I can't remember why it was, but they would take gold from the gold fields in Ballarat to Adelaide. And I think, I think I know what the story was. I could be wrong, but I think this is the story. The reason why they took it to Adelaide was because the gold excise, the tax, was less. This is how they do things in India. I remember we were travelling on a bus from Mayapur to Jagannath Puri. It took 32 hours to get there. And what we discovered was that the bus drivers were stopping, and we would just be sitting there for like a few hours. And the devotees were getting really frustrated. They were plotting to kill the bus driver and drive it ourselves. Few of the more radical-minded individuals. And what we discovered was that they were waiting until the checkpoint was not manned, right? And then they would drive through and not pay the toll. India. In Australia, we just drive wherever we like. Yeah, that's why the Aussies were frustrated. What's wrong with you guys? Just drive the bus. And they were thinking about their rupees. So they would escort the gold through border town and by horse. It was a horse with a police escort. And then to the port of South Australia where it could, you know, be taken where it was going to go. And the reason why they did that was because they paid less tax. But that's how, you know, the state of Victoria and the government of Victoria was able to, the state was able to establish itself because of gold and taxes on the gold. Okay, so since gold is to be avoided as far as possible, you can hand me your gold on the way out. And I'll look after it for you. Or you can put it in a hundi. Krishna will look after it for you. Okay. Kantarashana Bhagavatam ki jai, Chala Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.